We are the One Story Podcast. We believe in the power of a story. Everyone has a story, and that story is meaningful. Your story can make a difference. Your story can inspire others. Your story is important. At the same time, ultimately, everyone's story is a part of one story, the Big God story.
It's not what you said. You're not who you said you were.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the One Story Podcast.
Oh, gosh.
We're not even around Hollywood. Halloween. Hollywood. Anyways, Hollywood. My name is Drew, and I'm with Isaac Labrija.
That's me.
How are we doing today? This is another great Saturday morning, recording a few episodes. And as we kick this thing off, we just want to remind everyone about the fact that this is a listener-supported podcast, and we are selling One Story T-shirts. They proceeds go to supporting.
You've gone so NPR right now.
Supporting this show, the expenses and bandwidth, equipment, everything. So we're just looking for you guys to help us out, and you get a cool T-shirt while doing it. They're pretty sick tees.
Sick, bruh.
And you can find them on allgracedup.blog. which is Wayna's website, Isaac's wife. She has a blog. She has a podcast called All Graced Up Podcast, and we ask that you go and support that. Subscribe to it. Listen in. It's all about
grace-filled motherhood.
That it's correct, and it's a part of the One Story Podcast Network. Another podcast that's in the works is Brian Sumner's Foolishness Podcast, so you'll be looking for that. It might be out already. We record this a little bit ahead, so But look for that. There'll be some announcements on probably our social medias and his. But definitely go support Brian and what he does. He's got a great ministry. On those, along the same lines with iTunes and how you listen, if you listen through iTunes and you support the show, you love the show, we just ask you to please rate and review. It helps out. The reviews really help out in the iTunes world of visibility for us.
And it's not even for us. It's actually for people who are seeking God, maybe, or just people that might be, yeah,
show.
Like it could be a new believer. It could be that someone that's seeking God or all the above. And they might just be looking for a good podcast to listen about God. And this is, this is what we do is different. I mean, if you search like testimonies on iTunes, nothing really comes up except the One Story.
this is unique, to what's out there on podcasts. You know, you get on the Christian world, the, sermons, you know, sermons from a church, or people just talking about current events or all that's great. You know, we listen to those kind of podcasts, but this is something a little bit different where we're just highlighting God working in people's lives, giving evidence of Jesus that he's alive and well and doing things in our lives. So yeah, that would be something that would really help us out, reviewing it. And then also just sharing with a friend or sharing on your social media. We put out social media posts. If you share those to get into your guys' network, and that's just how this thing's going to spread. That's what we're looking for into this this new year.
And if you don't follow One Story, I really don't care. Just go ahead and drop me a follow at Isaac Labrija. That's all that matters.
Yep, he's trying to get those followers up on his, so he feels good every time he goes to sleep at night.
Can't sleep. Knows that unless I got another five followers at
likes, 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 likes. Today we have on Amanda.
Oriana.
And this is a heavy episode. She gets into her story, which is just filled with God's love and grace and kindness through hurt and loss. And it's something that, as you know, you'll hear, but it's kind of unexplainable how she can, I think, come on this show so
sure.
Near to the loss that she's gone through in her life and be able to talk about what she talks about and still having the relationship with God, still leaning on God, because I don't know where I would be. I would, you know, if I went through the same things that she has. So we really appreciate her coming on, her honesty and her openness. May God bless her and her family, and that you get blessed from hearing the story. So without further ado, here's the episode with Amanda. Isaac will do his magic after and post. So hi, Amanda. How you doing?
Good.
Did you know I was a magician?
No, that I didn't know.
A lot of people don't know.
He works at the Magic Castle in Hollywood.
Dude, we had this thing at our church where they had a magician come. First of all, I was like, wait, why do we have a sorcerer here on the campus?
It was a Christian magician.
Yeah, but it was, that guy was tripping me out. Like, it was funny because there was like, he was doing this stuff, and then at a certain point, Gil, you know Gil, he was like, do him and like, yeah, because he didn't know me. Like, I just trip out and stuff like that, and he started like pick a card, any card. He's like, write on it, and then started doing all this stuff, and I was tripping out, and I was like, oh, that's cool, like, whatever, you know, I know it's a trick, right? Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, like, the last one was like, he did all this stuff, and then he pulled my card out of his wallet.
Have you seen it?
And that's when I was like, ah.
And then you believe.
Have you ever seen the Chris Angel stuff where no. the people just start running?
David Blaine, he's a trip too. But anyways.
I started to believe in magic and just like, I'm not coming back to the church, guys. Thank you. It was fun. Sorry. Funny. So with that antidote, Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, thank you for coming and be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You had a little bit of a trip. Like Elsinore,
not too bad, not too bad. It's just starting to rain, it looks like, out there, so I miss the rain.
Does the lake get higher? Like, does it look more lakey when it rains?
More lakey. I think that's a scientific term, right?
It's in the dictionary, I'm sure.
No, it's like a sewer out there. Honestly, our lake is gross.
Don't people fish it or no?
They do.
But there's signs everywhere that says, do not eat the fish.
Yeah, no, it stinks. Like, it is green.
You know what sucks is because that was like a spot mm-hmm. long time ago, probably in the 50s. Yeah. I mean, it was probably a place where people vacation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What it's crazy because if you drive around, you see like all the lakeside houses, but the lake is like 200 yards away from their house.
There's not as much water anymore.
Yeah, and that's what's happened. Was it a reservoir? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. Because yeah, I wonder if like it's just used for
Water. We'll have to, if you're listening, you can Google Lake Elsinore, the history of.
Because let us know.
We don't have that on
That's
hand.
Actually going to be our next episode.
We should have had the Google put up on the...
dang it.
We're going to do our research as we record. But anyways, thanks for coming and making the drive. We appreciate it. And we're excited to have you on. I say we get right into it. And
hold on. I just need to just say that. Amanda thinks you're Tweedledee and I'm Tweedledum.
Oh, yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. We actually have the costume, so we'll probably start wearing it.
the new uniform for when we record.
On that, why don't we get into it, Amanda, and you can share your story with us.
Sure. All right. So I'm going to start it off pretty intense. Okay. So I'd like to start it off by acknowledging the enemy and who he says that I am. He says that I'm not enough, that I'm ugly, that I'm fat, that I'm stupid, that I'm unworthy, that I'm condemned, that I'm a victim, a whore, and that sin and death rule my life. And that my story doesn't matter. Mm. That is honestly who the enemy says that I am, and that's real. But I'd like to also ask you guys a question that I often wonder myself, and that is, who would you be and what would your life look like if you truly believed or had faith in who Christ says you are? So I often think that, and so going back starting out as a child, I grew up as a third child, so the youngest, in a Christian home. My father grew up Catholic, but mom Christian. So we kind of meshed in, and mom conquered dad, and we became a Christian household. My dad was a military veteran, electrician. He was the main provider for the family, you know, kept the roof over our head, all that good stuff. Mom worked hard to, you know, provide extra things, part-time job, Christian school when I was young. But minus the whole outside picture of what that looks like, there was a lot of other stuff going on. With my mother, she could be really spicy. She had a temper, she had rage. That's hard to bring out. But, you know, mm-hmm. like once you kind of, you just have to dig in and just pull out, you know, the negative, you know what I mean? Because that's where the healing is. And this is the truth of my life. And, you know, another thing with my father is that he was very distant emotionally. Like, he was there. He was a provider. He was home. He wasn't like out at the bar or anything like that. But he just wasn't emotionally available growing up as a child. And they did provide, though, you know, again, Christian school. And just knowing like bits and pieces of the Bible, I had my mom in me, you know, like I had that rage, sometime as like a bratty little child, I would say. I was chubby, you know, I followed her example of like eating for comfort, and that's just what I did. And she was my example, you know, she was kind, she was caring, but she was also very spicy again. So,
next time Wayne starts getting mad at me and be like, stop being spicy. You're being a little spicy right now.
Yeah. Like, that's like the best that. Word that I can describe it.
It reminds me of, my grandma. We used to call her Grandma Spice.
I bet it was like a good spice, like cinnamon or something, right? I'm talking about like chile.
She was spicy, like you're talking
about. I need you to explain where that came from again.
I said we've talked about it on a show before, but she was just kind of like that, like just spoke her mind and would be, you know, kind of, I mean, very loving, but, you know, just say it like it is and kind of cut through. But also she used to just like want to get dressed up, and she would wear like leopard print and like high heels.
Oh my gosh, that is my mom. Oh my gosh.
One time, the way she got the name was, we were having, it was a soccer game at Behringer, and it was like a morning like this, and so it was like kind of muddy and in the grass and stuff. She's wearing high heels, grandma just walking out, heels getting stuck in the dirt and stuff, and we started calling her Grandma Spice, like the Spice Girls, but she was Grandma Spice.
I get it. So, oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
Anyway, it reminded me of, you keep saying spicy, and just, I get a picture of that, so it's good.
Shout out to Grandma Spice.
My food, my love of food, I guess. But I went to Christian school. It was called Grace Christian in Norwalk.
Okay.
And I stayed there until I was about in first grade and transferred over.
What city did you grow up in?
I grew up in Buena Park.
Okay.
So Orange County, but my mom worked over there, so it was just easier. As her job changed, I moved to a different Christian school closer to me. And then at fourth grade, that kind of ended because of finances, you know, with my mom not working part time, my dad just trying to hold everything together. I transferred to public school. And for me, that was just like, it was a rude awakening because not everybody around me was a believer. I had some kind of understanding of the Bible. I knew about the Ten Commandments, you know, so I knew what was wrong, what was right based on those teachings. And it was just, it was really hard to connect with people at first, you know, because they were just different, you know what I mean? Like, I was raised around all these, you know, growing up with Christian people all around me, and they had different beliefs. Some, you know, didn't believe. So I felt very taken back to talk about my faith, like, you know, because like they couldn't connect and I couldn't connect with them on that level.
So at that age, what did your faith look like? Did you have a relationship with God, or was it more like I believe in God and I have these rules, but you had a relationship then?
I did. Okay. Yeah.
What did that look like for
at
you?
5 years old, I was in my room and it was a mess. I shared a room with my brother, and on my side, it was just a complete mess. We had this divider in the middle of us, and my side was like piled up with clothes and toys and stuff. And I was just like, didn't want to clean. And my mom was like, you know, going in there raging, you know, and I ended up just like, you know, throwing a tantrum like Donald Trump, you know, in his wall. And my mom just, she prayed, you know, she prayed with me. And this is how when I accepted Jesus into my heart.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a very, I can remember it to this day. It was very powerful. Like, I wanted to know who God was, and I wanted to know who Jesus was, and I wanted to understand the Trinity. And that part of it, like, did get a little bit confusing because I think a lot of Christians can't really explain that too well to people. But my mom
it's a mystery. I mean, I don't think we'll ever really be able to, we can understand it and believe it, but to really understand the Trinity is something kind of beyond us. You know, it's God's ways that are, you know, above our ways.
Right. Yeah. And Father, you know, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. And I struggled with that and knowing that for a while, but taking it into like junior high age, I became very rebellious, you know, as we, you know, most kids do at that age, you know, I started lying. I started stealing. I started just doing all of these things that were sinful. They were very sinful things. And then
stealing, like what?
From like
shoplifting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like little things. Yeah. You know what I mean? It started off small, mm-hmm. you know, and I got in trouble. So believe me, I learned my lesson. I did learn my lesson on that. And, you know, my parents kind of covered me, you know, God's grace covered me at that time.
Was it because of maybe friends you were hanging out with, or was it you just...
I think I was a bad influence too. Oh, I think really? It was like a codependent kind of like, let's get in trouble and do, you know, like be just, I don't know, just do things that would get us in trouble, get us attention. I think that's what right. it was about for me, attention. Right. And once I kind of graduated from that sin, you know, it went from like sin to sin. Once sin takes a hold of your life, it's like it travels. It goes into different things. And for me, you know, I had a boyfriend and for like 4 years, 3 to 4 years. And we, you know, we had premarital sex. And that just kind of sent me into this spiraling, you know, dark hole. And I don't know, things just didn't work out with us. You know, we're young, we grew, you know, we probably shouldn't have been doing that, obviously, before. That's, you mm-hmm. know, what the Bible tells us. And my parents took me to a psychologist at that time, and I just couldn't get anything out. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't talk. And I wasn't ready to change. I wanted to be an experiment and do what I wanted to do. Mm. And that's just who I was at that age, you know. And I thought I was at my lowest point, you know, with, you know, living in that sin and just being so broken. And at 17, this is where it kind of gets really hard for me, but I mm-hmm. met my husband. Mm-hmm. I met him at a club, at a nightclub. I was 17. I shouldn't have been there, but I was. Uh-huh. And I met him and I got pregnant right away. Mm. And I just found myself in a lot of trouble. I was using drugs at the time. I was drinking at the time, and there was just no end in sight. Mm. There was no end in sight. My sins had just totally engulfed me, and I was just in this hole. And, you know, I talked to my mother and those that were closest to me, and I realized that, like, being that young and the choices that I was making, I didn't want to have a child that was disabled because of my poor choices. Mm. I didn't even know how to raise, you know, I didn't even know how to love myself at this point in time. Like, how the heck could I love anybody else? And let alone a child that would be disabled because of me. How could I live with that? So, you know, I can remember that day, you know, going in to the room and just it being so freezing cold and, you know, having that life leave me, mm. you know, it just, I mean, it's been years. My daughter is the daughter that I have now. She is, she's going to be 15 in a couple of weeks, mm. but, it happened before her. So this is like, you mm. know, I'm not going to tell you guys my age, but I am in my 30s. Okay. I'm getting up there a little bit. But you know,
wait,
it's been,
I'm in my 30s. Hold on.
Yeah, we're getting
been,
up there.
It's been, you know, it's been decades, but you know what?
But I can still see the...
There's pain there, yeah. you know, when you don't talk about it, when you don't share about it, and you don't realize that this is a real thing that's out there, like, and it was sick. I was so sick, not just from the drugs, but from my choice, and it just became the family secret because my dad didn't know, mm-hmm. you know, and I was ashamed. I was depressed. I was just living in denial. You know, I didn't want to give up my drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm. But I did see hope. You know, my husband and I, we started talking again, and we got pregnant with our daughter, Arlene. And, you know, I found my first glimpse of hope when I had her. Like, okay, you know, I can do this. You know, we can do this. And I had well-paying jobs. I got engaged. I was growing my little family. And then as, like, depression, the postpartum depression kind of kicked in, I just seeped back into... the drugs and alcohol, and it got worse because they, you know, you take one drink and then, well, for an addict, you know, you take one drink and then you're back out there like doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And that was me, you know, but,
and you had your daughter and then you kind of turned back into, or back to, you know, drinking and, yes. and drugs and stuff. Okay.
Yes. After. Yeah. Right. So the whole time while I was pregnant with her, I was a mother, I was protecting her, and I kept myself clean. I kept myself sober. I finished high school, you know, while I was pregnant. And that was just life at that point in time. This is like young adulthood mm-hmm. for me.
And then where did, what role did God play in this time?
At this say? Time, I think God to me at this time was more or less like he was there, he was protecting me and he was showing me his grace, but I didn't have a personal relationship. I had strayed. Like I didn't understand how to have that personal relationship with him because I was just so lost in all my sins, but I knew he was there. Like yeah. for me, you know, I knew there's something higher than myself. There's something higher than these bad situations and these dumb choices. And, so God for me has always been there. And, going into another tough time in my life, you know, during this time of relapse, I had some really, not good people I was hanging out with, gang members, that were in and out of prison. And you know, I just need to pause for a second. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. One, you know, got my eyes tattooed on his arm, and the other one got my name tattooed on his arm. And I don't mean like a small little tattoo. I mean the whole forearm. And I don't know if it was like a manipulation kind of thing or what. I definitely know that I don't know. It wasn't love. It wasn't true love. You know, it was just lust. It just felt pure, just pure evil. You know, one of them put a gun to my head because I didn't want to be with him because he was getting loaded with like someone that was underage. And at that point, like, I was like, just go ahead and do it. You know, I prayed to God, like, take me out of this miserable life. Like, take me out of this. I want to die. I don't want to be here, you know. And sure enough, God answered my prayer. And, you know, the guy I was with that I told I didn't want to be with anymore came to the door, you know, and we got in the car and he did put the gun to my head. He clicked it once. And I was like, go ahead and do it. You know, like, what are you waiting for? Like, God was answering my prayer at this point, you know, so I thought.
At least you thought so, yeah.
Yeah, and he ended up turning the gun on himself, putting it to his head, and that's when I broke. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm just not okay right now. Like, this lifestyle that we're living is not okay, and I can't do this anymore. And, you know, I filed a police report, and from there, he went to prison. But before that, he did get a chance to, you know, I guess mutilate my body. I have scars, you know, from cutting me, like my finger, just pure insanity. But in that moment, I can say that God showed me what forgiveness looks like for other people. I forgave him. You know, we talked to each other. Like, I seriously just wanted to be away from him, but I forgave him at that point for those things. Cause you know, like, I don't know, God has shown me so much grace. How could I not show him? But knowing that he was behind bars, did kind of make that process easier. I think he did see that he did do wrong. He did ask for forgiveness. And we've moved on, but there, you know, there still is a restraining order.
Mm-hmm. When you gave him forgiveness and you're saying, because God, you know, that's the way God works in you, and kind of
yes.
share that with him. Was that conscious? Like, you knew, like, God gave you grace, therefore you're going to give grace to him.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't fully feel it though. Like, with God, like, I knew that this is what God does. I knew that this is who God shows, you know, God shows us how to forgive other people. That's just something that I've seen.
So through all, like, so far up to this point, like, just through all the chaos, like, you were always looking to him.
Yes. Oh my, I would ask him to, you know, protect me when I went into a situation, you know, to drop off, you know, or, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, just with people that were sketchy that I didn't know, I would always ask him to pray over, you know, to protect me. I prayed constantly for that because I was in bad situations. Like,
even though you were doing things that you weren't supposed to, whatever the situation may be, you were still crying out to God or praying to him.
I was. Right. I wasn't talking about my relationship or talking about it with other people.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was talking to God inside of me because mm-hmm. I knew what that looked like from a child because mm-hmm. my mom had prayed with me and I had accepted, you know, Christ into my heart. So I knew that that relationship had already started.
Right. Yeah.
So taking it out of that, you know, I did get in trouble, you know, with the law a little bit. I got misdemeanors and, you know, that are still coming up and affecting me today because of jobs and things that I want to do, which sucks. But you know what? I'm relying on God to guide me through what my purpose is mm-hmm. because there's a little bit more, you know, to my story other than that. Like I did go through therapy for PTSD, so I do understand that, you know, and I really didn't feel like it, I don't know, like it cured me, I guess. Like mm-hmm. I was still like that victim mentality, you know, like, and I still had my struggles with being clean, with being sober. I was so like, just literally like messed up.
And was the drugs and alcohol coping mechanisms for you?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So like for me, it went to like food, to, you know, to drugs, to okay. alcohol, to sex, to, you know, all of these sinful behaviors, I would say.
Okay.
So how I got clean and sober was reaching out to others that knew my disease of addiction because I couldn't do it alone. You know, I reached, you know, I prayed to God so many times and, you know, he, you know, you pray for something, watch out because it's God's going to show up. God is going to show up no matter what you pray, he hears. And, sorry, I just kind of got lost here a little bit, but, so I reached out to people in Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous. I know you've had people on here before that have shared their stories about mm-hmm. that. And I've really connected with that as well. But for me, it went a little bit deeper than that. I got my first year clean and sober, picked up a sponsor, and it just went deeper though. I knew that was like the drugs and alcohol were the outer layer of all my hurt, of all my pain. But there was stuff going on that was deeper. And for me, Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered recovery group.
Mm-hmm.
So my sixth year or my second year in, I decided to go that route with Celebrate Recovery. And honestly, that is what it is continuing my relationship with God. And like I'm able to share with people and people are able to share with me, and not just about our struggles, but like about what God's doing in our life. So mm-hmm. I have a better relationship. I actually have a relationship, I can say, with God, and I can share the things that he's teaching me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just so grateful for that ministry, and that ministry is everywhere. So I'll give you guys the website and all that later, but right. It's just been a part of my life. Like I got addicted to going to meetings. Like that's what I did. An addict just changes, you know, its course. So that's what I did.
So during all that time, what about the relationship with your daughter? Was that good or was it affected by the choices you were making?
Absolutely. My mom kind of took over. Mm-hmm. Not legally, but I was like, I would say a functioning addict. So I had really good jobs and I was able to support my habit
mm-hmm.
and, you know, take care of things when needed at home. And it was just very selfish.
Where was the baby's, your daughter's dad at the time?
We were living with my parents and I would leave because we were arguing. And we're getting along. We didn't know how to communicate with one another. He's from El Salvador. I would say he's like a refugee, but, it was hard to communicate. And I think today, you know, it's gotten better. Definitely. We've been through some, wow, like some really intense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually split up. We were, apart for 5 years.
Okay.
During this time. So we were not together. So like all the boyfriends and everything,
that happened in that period of
time. In that period of time. Yeah. Right. And meanwhile, my mom is helping me take care of my daughter and he's seeing her on the weekends. And okay. That's, you know, that's where we were at that point in time.
Right.
But, being in recovery, my second year and going to a more Christ-centered, my husband and I, our relationship, you know, it got restored. I can only explain it through God because there's no other explanation. We like literally hated each other, and, or, you know, just disgusted with one another, and the way, you know, we were with each other was really ugly at the time. But God, I can say, has healed that, you know, and he's working on us. He works on our marriage. So with that being said too, like, I want to bring up my son and that experience. Cause that's kind of, you know, where we're at. We got married, you know, and everything, but, you know, even after being in recovery and having all these wonderful things happen, there's, you know, there's hard times. It's not always you're saved and, you know, dunk in the holy tank and you're like saved and like,
everything
blessed. Like, yeah.
What?
Like, you're not, I
that's
mean,
true. That's so true.
It's a walk,
sure.
You know,
absolutely.
It is
a process.
It is a process. It is a walk with God every day. You know, we were excited. We were, you know, we're going to have our baby, and we were going to find out what he was, you know, obviously he, mm-hmm. you know, my son, David. And, that day when we went to go find out, it was just weird. It took longer than normal. It took a really long time for her to check the things that she needed to check.
This was to find out sex or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And to make sure everything was functioning okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. Mm. So we found out that he had a condition called hydrocephalus. And I call that his Goliath, you know, David and Goliath.
Could you tell us what hydrocephalus is?
Yes, hydrocephalus is basically like spinal fluid in the brain that accumulates and it doesn't have an outlet. Mm. So what the doctors do is they put a shunt in the brain. And what it does is it connects to Well, for my son, it connected to his intestine, so he's able to pee out the spinal fluid, right? So mm-hmm. that's how it works. But shunts do fail, and they tried to say there was so many things wrong with him: his heart, his brain. There were just so many different diagnoses that they were kind of just throwing up in the air and guessing. And they were telling us that this is an act of God. Like, pretty much. They didn't say those words, but they said, this is like lightning hitting you. This doesn't happen that often. Mm. And if you try to have another child, then most likely this won't happen again. And, you know, just like lightning striking as a patient, you're like, what does that mean? You know, like, God, what are you doing? You know, and they...
Was it them kind of trying to say that, like, to let you know it wasn't your guys' fault?
Yeah.
By, you know what I mean? Like, this... just happened.
But for exactly. you being a believer, that's like the wrong words to use, right?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, I know God. You're saying God did this? Yes. You could take it like that.
Exactly.
Did you?
I did. I was like, I'm being punished. Mm. I am being punished for all of my sins, and this isn't fair. And they gave us the choice, you know, do you want to go ahead and, you know, have an abortion? This is a, you know, this is something you can do. And, you
How
know,
how long were you?
5 months.
Okay.
So we were like, you have like two weeks to decide. I forgot what it was, but you have this amount of time to decide. And it was so short. And my husband and I were like, what the heck? You know, we cried, we prayed about it. You know, we asked God to help us in our decision. And I reached out, you know, to friends in recovery, to my sponsor, and you know, they prayed over me, like in group, and it was just a really powerful thing that God just put over me to just love him no matter what, no matter how long you have with him. You love this little boy and you love him so much. And they did tell us that once he was born, like, he would have a 50% chance of survival, or he would pass before the age of 7. Mm. And, that was a really hard choice to make. Do you bring someone in this world that's going to suffer, or do you just, what do you do? Like, I could just remember just calling out to God, but God's answer is love. It's always love. It is always love. Mm. And I'm so thankful for what God has shown me through my son. In a sense, like, now that I'm coming here and kind of sharing this more, and I'm sharing it more, you know, and more, I'm realizing that, you know, this is my redemption. You know, I made mistakes in the past, but God showed me strength through this little boy. You know, he showed me courage. He showed me struggle, but... you know, like weakness, but he showed me that, you know, he is ultimately the one that gets the last say so, you know, and I could really like embrace that forgiveness now. You know what I mean? Like going through that experience. My son, and this is why I connected with Wayna so much. I read her story and like your wife, you mm-hmm. know, and,
Wayna, who?
Yeah. We never mentioned her. Right. No, but, like I connected with her so much. I remember, being in the hospital and, you know, recovery tells you to reach out to people. God tells you reach out to people that have been there, that have done that, because they know and they're going to help guide you through this. Like, that's just what I know to be true. So I messaged her and I was like, once I, like, she was the first person literally that I messaged about, like, what do I, like, what did she do? What did she hold on to in this time? Like, this is really happening, you know, like my heart, when I heard, read her story, when I heard it through, you know, you, Isaac, like my heart literally broke and like my heart was breaking like exactly the same way, you know? And this, you know, my mom passed, a month prior to my son. So my mom has passed.
Wow.
But it's so weird because she passed 3 days after listening to your podcast, to your testimony. And this is when it all started happening. And like, I'm like, I don't know, like, it's just God like spoke through your story and like prepared a way, you know, like you guys had already been there and done that, you know, Wayne had lost her father, you know, you guys have lost Stella. So, that was what I knew to do, was to reach out to someone that had been there, someone that knew. And she gave me scripture, you know, like Jeremiah 29:11, like things to hold on to in that time, you know, like.
Was this before David got sick? Like right before or
no,
after?
This was when we were in the hospital and he was passing.
Okay.
Hmm. So.
To give people context, Isaac's story, he talked about you guys losing your daughter.
Yes, we had a baby, our firstborn. She passed. She had trisomy 18. Mm-hmm. She passed. 3 weeks old. So we got to be with her and take care of her, and then we ended up losing her. But for you, David was 3 years
yes,
old.
Yes.
So it's different.
He was still, it is, yeah, it is a little bit different, but she, you know, I know that she had physically went through the birth of having mm-hmm. that child and holding on to that child. Yes. And I realized like each moment, I knew each moment was precious. We spent like months in the hospital when he was first born, mm-hmm. going through brain surgeries. I went to you know, a physical and occupational therapy to help him. There's just countless doctor's appointments, spending in the offices and talking to doctors and crying afterwards and, you know, asking for prayer about different situations with him. And, you know, like I was just blessed to have him for the time that I did. You know, it was a struggle.
Can you tell us about David a little bit? What he was like, his personality?
He was always smiling. Always smiling. He loved listening to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. We'd sing that to him. And he was so full of like good spirit, like so innocent and just so precious. He couldn't speak, you know, so, but we heard him say mama and dada, so, you know, a couple of times. I'm not sure if he really understood that because of his condition, but he was saying those things at one point. And, yeah, he was my warrior. He was my little guy. I miss holding him so much. But I knew, like, God has a plan, and it's not to hurt me. It's not to make me, you know, feel like I'm being punished, because he has redeemed me from my past. You know, through David, we were able to help others, you know, and as people were helping us, like you guys, you know, and Wayna and Jackie with, you know, the shirts and all of that good stuff, like that, you know, they helped pay for part of the funeral expenses. And I was just so taken back, like how can God show, you know, like it was so unexpected, like this is God's grace on us, you know, and his loving kindness, you know what I mean? And I just want to be able to eventually, you know, do the same thing and be able to give that back one day as well. But through my son and him being such a strong warrior, he was able to donate life you know, we, it was hard. I had to fight, you know, not Mexican, but my husband's Latino. He's from El Salvador. So
in California, he's Mexican.
Yeah, exactly. But their whole thing is like, leave the body intact, you know, and my sister's a nurse and I'm, you know, pulling towards, the medical field myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, God, what are you going to do here? You know? And my sister's like, there are so many, other little ones that can benefit from him, you know, basically organ donation. Mm-hmm. If you're not a donor, you should be. No, yeah. Because no, it really does. It gives life to other people. Sure. Yeah. And, I had a struggle with my husband there. He didn't want to accept the fact that David was passing, when I did realize it before him. But, and then it took, you know, getting him past that point and then getting him to the point where, okay, let's go ahead and donate, you know, let's give life to other people. And for me, that was really freeing. God showed me like these people that were blessed. One was hard, really hard. He gave his heart to a little girl and yeah, she had, but she did pass. And this was all like, I lost my mother, I lost David, and this little girl passed, you know, all around Mother's Day. And it's like, really, God, you really have like this. I was angry, you know. I think I was angry with God at that point, like, how could you and on Mother's Day, like so close to Mother's Day, how could you, like, you just ripped my heart out, like you ripped my heart out. But again, like I said, it's a daily walk with God. It's not just like, okay, God blessed me and I'm good. You know, it's a daily walk with him. And he's shown me love on so many different levels. My life verse is John 4:18, perfect love casteth out fear. And that is when I was in like a deep, dark place. Like, he showed me that love is, God is love, right? So he showed me that he's not punishing me. Like, he loves me. These things are for good, you know, that he was showing me. And again, yeah, I just continue to walk with him daily. You know, in recovery, we're told to do like a daily inventory, you know, a check-in with God and that kind of stuff. So journaling and a lot of that good stuff. So I get a lot of, you know, these emotions and a lot of you know, guidance at that time, you know, because you're praying, you're meditating. So, you know, again, it's a growing relationship with Christ. And
This happened with David about, has it been a year? It's almost a year, a little bit under a year.
Under a year.
I remember being at the funeral, and I remember I actually saw you right after, Drew. I don't know if you remember, but I was wrecked because I couldn't imagine you spending 3 years with your boy and, you know, and all the stuff that you were going through and, him really depending on you and, for life, you know, and really taking care of him the way you did. I'm sure you guys had a really tight bond and you losing that. I mean, even going through it, like you were saying, doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it, you can't understand it still. You're saying, talking about, God not punish. Yeah. He didn't punish you. That was a result of this world.
Yeah.
And all God, you know, I don't know where God falls in the part or where, what he can do as far as performing miracles. Cause I know he can. Right. Why he doesn't, we don't know. But I do know that, like what you're saying, some of the stuff that came out of it, maybe your understanding of him, feeling his love and his grace and his peaceful, you know, having a different understanding of what who he is and what he does, might be a result. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think that situation, like you're saying, it wasn't a consequence of your sin.
Right.
It's something that just we're all going to be subjected to, different things in our lives and different trials. And I'm surprised that, not surprised, but like even for you to be here and to share with us, the story is just, I mean, it's, and for you to even want to share about it more, I still can't talk about what we went through. It's hard. It is. Extremely difficult. And no, thank you for doing that. What does it look like since? What's been going on?
I've been trying for myself personally. I've been trying to, just pick up the pieces because there was a point when I had David, you know, I was working And now I'm just trying to, you know, pick up that, you know, like, what is my purpose? God, I'm leaning on him, like, you know, guide me. Where am I going from here? So I have no freaking clue. You know, I know I need to work. I know that I want to help others. You know, I know recovery is always going to be a part of who I am. And I'm just waiting for him kind of to guide me. It's been tough, though, like with David's room and just with my husband, you know, like processing through. We've cried so many times. We've, you know, like we've had so many conversations about why. And we talk about David and, you know, recently we've opened up his room because we had it closed for a couple months. And I did some grief share. So that is also another ministry.
What is that?
Basically, it's like a ministry. They do it at different churches, I guess. And it's like a booklet. So you go through it with other people that are grieving.
Okay.
Either from, you know, from loss of wives, husbands, mm-hmm. you know, parents,
yes.
everything. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm on that boat. I have like all this grief. Like I need to put it down somewhere. So I'm going to jump into that again, too, because mm-hmm. I missed a couple because of school and stuff. So,
And that's good that you're able to do that, because I think within the church or our, you know, culture, grieving is not something that's, I don't think, given enough weight, you know, to be able, you know, everyone's talking about getting through something or getting,
right.
you never, or getting over
and
something.
That you don't,
you're not going to ever get over it.
As long as there's love, there's always going to be that mm-hmm. sorrow when someone leaves.
Yeah.
So I know we're kind of like running.
You're good.
Okay. But I want to get into the good stuff, you know, because, you know, God is good. And I've had like a lot of heartbreak in my life, but and a lot of wrong turns. But I just want to get to like who God says that I am, you know, because we started off with, what the enemy says. So I want to bring up who God says I am. God says that I am valued. He says that I'm loved. He says that I am enough. He says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. A beautiful child of God. I am worthy. I am redeemed. I am victorious. And my story does matter. And so does everybody else's out there who's listening.
Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, my journey is not over. This is not it. This is not a one and done kind of thing. God, again, walks with me daily. I have many character defects. So spicy, you know, taking that to spicy. I still work in progress. You know, I just want to let my shout out to my husband, Christian. I love you. So
how's he doing?
He works a lot. He's mm-hmm. working today. I would love to honestly see him open up a little bit more. But for me, it's, I think for women, that's why I'm like so surprised you guys are like all out there with this and, mm-hmm. and the testimonies and the stories of God is, it's amazing. But he's more of a shy guy and like, I don't want people in my business kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I have seen him open up a little bit more, and I'm praying for him that he continues to do that.
Amen.
Maybe he'll be on here one day too.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So some of the good stuff too, you know, realizing and really living in who God says that I am. And, you know, with that spiritual warfare, you know, because there is, you know, the enemy tries to say one thing, but God, you know, ultimately stands. So stand in who God says you are, not who the enemy says you are. The things that have happened for me is, you know, like 7 years I have clean and sober. Praise God.
Congratulations.
I've lost over 40 pounds by making healthy choices.
Nice.
Which required a lot of God's guidance in that area because I do need boundaries in all areas of my life. I've completed my associate's in behavioral studies certification in victim services. I'm currently working towards a higher education. I married the man that stuck by me in the good times and the bad. We've traveled to different places, exciting places like Hawaii and Miami. And I've heard some stuff on here that I would love
to start
to
putting
do.
Miami in that same category. Babe, we got to go to Hawaii. I mean, Miami.
That was exciting, you know,
sure.
like to
I've
be
I've never
on
been
the
either one. So.
Yeah, it was exciting, you know, and I'm hoping to do more of that, but in a different way. Like I've heard stories on here and testimonies of like people on missions, and I've heard about that all my whole life, you know. Mm-hmm. And that for me would be a prayer answer to do something like that, to go far and
absolutely.
To like be in, you know, service, mm-hmm, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? While I'm doing that, that would be so amazing.
We'll have to connect you with some of the people we know that are in the missions field.
Yeah.
I think
I've heard
a couple
on
people.
Here. Yes, mm-hmm. I have. I've heard. And mm-hmm. that's just opened my eyes even more to that. So we've purchased, we went from condo to home. So that was exciting this last year. Thank you. Also, you know, being with my mother on her deathbed, you know, I was clean and sober, and I could have sworn like I was going to go right along with her because she had suffered for so many years. You know, she had two heart attacks, dialysis, 14 years.
Oh, wow.
And amputations, ultimately being septic, took her life. So, but it was, even though she was spicy, man, she had people that loved her, that were all around her. And I got to be there clean and sober, praising, praying over her. You know, we listened to worship. We sang Amazing Grace over her as she passed. Mm. And that for me was what I wanted. I wanted to be there when she passed. And it was just, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful passing. So I'm thankful for those moments. Again, my son, I'm also just blessed to have him, you know, to have had that time with him. And because I know that, you know, not all of us get that time. And even though I wanted to fight it and say the doctor's wrong, you know, like he's going to live past 7, you know, that was my whole, you know, thing, like, let's prove them wrong. But, you know, like we had him for the time that we did have him. And I'm thankful for that. I can honestly say that I'm thankful. And I just, you know, there's countless blessings of how God is working. I know he's going to do so much more in my life and in the lives of the others that are around me. So
that's great. That's great. I mean, just for, I can't even imagine, you know, I have a 2-year-old son and another one on the way. Yeah. Both of you guys.
Congratulations.
You know, thank you. I can't even put it into words. And I just the fact of, you know, the loss that you've gone through, you know, whether it's your mom or, you know, your son, for you to say the words that you're saying and still have the hope in God and in Jesus it's nothing short of supernatural, you know. Yeah. And to really point to that God is real and that he loves you, and we live in a fallen world and it's not him causing these things, but it's him that, you know, with the pain and loss that we do go through, he'll walk with you through it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And yeah. It's,
yeah, I'm just inspired that all the things that you're doing, you just listed off, you know, a whole heap of stuff that you're still marching forward and
right.
and living the life that he gave you.
Absolutely.
And that's inspiring to me to continue to do this show, to continue to do things, you know, with my family and grow in every way with God, just walking with him and just seeing what and really just making much of what he's given us.
Absolutely.
All the blessings, just even just like you're saying, just being alive. And
yep, where he leads, I'll follow. That, you know, once I give my life to him, you know, I didn't mention in here, but I was baptized. So younger I wasn't, I prayed, you know, and I accepted Jesus into my heart. But in 2010, I was baptized. Nice. So yeah.
Very like cool. Around you too, right? No, you're,
we were a little after.
Okay.
But I was, same later. Thing, I grew up in the church and I was saved at a young age, but then I didn't get baptized until later on with my wife and
it's
me.
Really, that's, you know, I've heard that's, you know, it needs to be our decision.
Our decision, yeah.
They tried to drown me when I was a baby. It's crazy.
Catholic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What, you've kind of said it throughout your story, and I think just your story in itself can give hope to people, but people that in the same situation or might be going through it or going to go through, you know, loss, whatever it may look like. Do you have any advice for them or something you could give them?
Let God walk with you and reach out to others. Don't stop reaching out in the hurt and in the victories, you know, the struggles, no matter what it is, good or bad, you know, just reach out to others that you've seen walk through what you're going through, and God's going to pull you out.
Okay. So with that, we just ask that you open your eyes, listen closely, soften your heart, and ask God to reveal himself to you.